What do you call someone who always keeps their word? Well, I'd like to call them friend, because that is someone that you can trust. In Genesis 21, God keeps his word. Abraham and Sarah have been following God and trusting in his promises for several decades now, with the promise of a son being foremost in their minds. Waiting on God's timing is not easy, but it does pay off. Let's pick up at verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. In the first two verses alone, God's faithfulness to keep his word is stated three times: as he had said, as he had promised, and at the time at which God had spoken to him. God came through. Sarah was 90, Abraham 100, and God came through. Abraham did his part. He circumcised the boy as he had promised on the eighth day. And the boy was named Isaac, which means laughter. Now this is a beautiful name to give to a little boy. And I love what Sarah says about it in verse 6. God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Sarah is 90. She waited a lifetime for this. And the last 25 years she waited on God's promise. And now she just laughs. You know that feeling when you've waited a long time? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. That is exactly where Sarah is at. At long last, God has brought her laughter. Sarah laughed before, but that was the laughter of disbelief. This time, it's pure joy. But life wasn't all a box of giggles just yet. There was another boy, Ishmael. Let's read verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So baby Isaac gets a party because he's not nursing anymore, and Ishmael is caught mocking. Which is understandable, considering he's about 17 years old and he's invited to a weaning party. I mean, come on. But honestly, teenagers mock, and it's not good. Mocking shows a false maturity. Proverbs 3 says, God mocks proud mockers. In other words, mockery works just like the rubber and glue principle. When you make somebody else look small, God bounces it right back on you and makes you look small. Sarah is not having it. She tells Abraham to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. But at verse 11, and the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So God says, listen to your wife, Abraham. That's a good verse for husbands, but this is a tough call. Nonetheless, Abraham has to trust God on this one. God kept one promise to bring a son through Sarah, and he will keep this promise to bless Ishmael. Abraham sends Hagar and the young man Ishmael with food and water, but it doesn't last long. In verse 15, when the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And she sat opposite him. She lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. So Hagar got desperate, and she gave up hope. And once again, the angel of God shows up to visit, just as he did before. Now watch the wording carefully, and you may find a clue that the angel of God is none other than God himself. I will make him into a great nation, he says. And I love the promise that God makes here. He doesn't just say, yes, your boy will survive the night. He says, I will make him a nation. But think back a second. The angel of the Lord already promised that to Hagar the last time she gave up hope. Sometimes we get so caught up in the trials of the moment that we forget what God has already promised for the long term. Then in verse 19, God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. God had had a plan all along, and a momentary trial would not get in the way of God keeping his word. In verse 20, "And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow." So Ishmael survived, and he grew up and got married. But Ishmael's story is a hard one. Was Ishmael unwanted? Was he a mistake that his parents made, only to be cast away when he came of age? We know that his dad loved him, but he had to feel lesser in some ways. His family was messy, to be sure, but it wasn't his fault. He was born into it. And yet verse 20 says, "God was with the boy as he grew up." Listen, mistake or not, in human terms, doesn't matter. God was with him, and God blessed him. Read Genesis 21 today. And as you do, there is one more very important picture to draw for you here. Galatians chapter 4 explains that this entire story of the two sons is one big allegory. Now, it is clearly presented as a true story, but it is also a picture of a spiritual truth. Galatians 4:22 says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants." Now, what that means is that Hagar and Sarah represent two different ways to enter relationship or covenant with God. Hagar represents the covenant of Mount Sinai, the law. Hagar was a slave, and living by the law will only make you a slave to the law. We cannot be set free or made righteous by keeping rules of the law. All of our works to save ourselves are just works of the flesh, and that's what Ishmael represents, our own fleshly attempts to make God's plan happen. Salvation by works, trying to be good enough, it's all slavery. Slave to sin or slave to the law, you're still in chains. Now, Sarah represents the covenant of promise, promised to Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus. Sarah is the free woman, and the children of her covenant are meant for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, this isn't talking about Isaac and Ishmael, not the real ones, nor about the Jews and the Arabs. It is the covenant for all people that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians explains that every one of us was born a slave to sin and to the law, and every one of us is invited to be like Isaac, a child of promise. In God's promise, we are born to be free, free to live and love. And in that freedom, there is so much joy and laughter. As Galatians 4:7 has it, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.